Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
So sometimes God kind of puts something on my heart to share, and I'm kind of not that excited about sharing it because I know that there is a cost to writing a message around a certain topic. As I wrote this message this week, it's fair to say that it personally cost my family. So in talking about the supernatural realm and a little bit about kind of the spiritual battle that rages in the world, the unseen world, I am always mentally prepared for the fact that if I'm going to talk about that stuff, then it's going to really, it's going to have an effect. And it's going to have an effect on my family, because that's kind of the easiest place, I guess, for the enemy to attack. So I guess that's why we talk about the need to be praying for our leaders and praying especially for Phil and Nat and Ruby and April and stuff. And they have a great responsibility that God's placed upon them to care for us and to be praying for us and to be our spiritual oversight. And they are answerable for us. That's what God talks about, the fact that they will be called into account and stuff. And we have a real responsibility to be praying for them. And so as a church, I think we need to really step that up. I think we need to acknowledge the fact that our prayers contain great weight and that we can actually have a significant impact in the spiritual realm when we pray. And collectively, when we're praying, it can have a great impact. And I think that this year, as we're talking about prayer and stuff more this year, one of the things that we need to do as a church is we need to pray for Phil and Nat and for Ruby and April more. And so I would like to put that out to you guys, that you guys would take that on board, that you would daily keep them in your prayers, that when you meet as a life group, you would be praying for them. If you come to our prayer meetings, you would be praying for them, because anytime you take a spiritual step to, I guess, advance yourself, which is basically anything, that there will be resistance and there will be a cost involved in that. We talk about nothing worth something costs nothing. So we really believe that this year as a church we've been called to pray, and we've been called to pray more as individuals, and we've been called to pray more collectively as a church, and that will really have a significant impact in your life personally, in the life of your family, in the life of this church, and in the greater life of this community, that our prayers will avail much. They won't just be meaningless utterances, but they will be words of spiritual significance, that they will be God-breathed, faith-inspired words that actually create great change, not because we can create great change, but because the power that lives within us, that power of Christ, can create great change. But we need to understand that, by the way, my daughter prayed for a car park again yesterday morning. Ka-char, right out the front. So prayer does work. It's happened 4 weeks in a row. And I've now knocked off. We used to leave and give ourselves 5 minutes to drive around for a car park. I'm embracing her faith. I don't leave any time to find a car park anymore. We roll up 1 minute before she's meant to be at basketball. I just say, Jess, say a prayer. And she says a prayer, and we drive into the car park and we roll straight in while other people are just driving around for hours. I feel like I've got like this advantage. It's great. I don't know what would happen if we all showed up at the same time and we all prayed for a car park at the same time. That might get messy. So I guess today I just want to talk a little bit about almost the fine print when it comes to prayer, the stuff that we might not often talk about. We talk about it's great to pray. We talk about that we should all have a desire to pray, and we encourage you to pray and stuff. But we need to understand that our prayer has consequences. One of my favourite lines from a movie comes from a movie called The Usual Suspects. And the line is, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world that he didn't exist. So in this message, we're not talking about being super spiritual. We're not talking about looking for demons and devils behind every door and everything has some kind of spiritual consequence, but we're acknowledging the fact that God is real and he is absolute good. And we're also acknowledging that there's an enemy, and some of us call him Satan, some of us call him the devil, and there's other biblical words that we use to describe him, but he's real and he's absolute evil. And I think if you asked a lot of people, even within the church, but especially outside of the church, whether they believe in God, a lot of people aren't quite sure. They'll go, oh, yeah, maybe, not sure what form that would take, or potentially, or I don't really know. But if you ask them if they believe in the devil, then they would say no. Most people don't believe that there is an enemy force as such at work. And I think that's highlighted to me by the fact that when something bad happens, who gets the blame? So we need to really trust that God has good in store for us, that he desires life and freedom for us. But also we know John 10:10 says the thief has come to steal, kill and destroy. God has come to bring life and life to its full, but the thief has come to steal, kill and destroy. And the thief is the enemy. The thief is Satan. And so we need to realize that if we're going to start praying, then we're going to get God's attention. But we're also going to get the enemy's attention. It has consequences when we pray. Our prayers affect the supernatural. What's happening in the spiritual temperament of the world, of the unseen world, is affected by our prayers. I don't know if you've ever read it. There's a guy called Frank Peretti who wrote this series of books, and it was a really interesting insight into the fact that when believers pray, it affects the spiritual battles that take place. That we can have an effect by our collective praying and by us surrendering ourselves to God and asking God to intervene. In Ephesians 6:12 it says, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the unseen world. So we need to understand that us praying, it's not a peaceful act in the spiritual realm. It's actually an aggressive act. It's an act of war against our spiritual enemy. That the devil would believe that this earth is his territory, that he's in control of it. That's what he's kind of led to believe. John 12:31 uses the phrase in regards to Satan as the ruler of this world. So that doesn't mean that Satan has absolute control of everything, but it means that according to God's absolute sovereignty, Satan has certain dominion over unbelievers, that he can influence ideas, that he can help orchestrate things, that he can help plan things, that he's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. So Satan has certain capabilities. He has influence on ideas and all sorts of different stuff. But that doesn't mean that God's allowed Satan to just operate at free will. He still has his certain set of boundaries. So as believers, he has no authority over me. And I don't allow him to. So we must remember that God has really given him domain over unbelievers only. That according to Colossians 1:13, we're no longer under the rule of Satan, that we're no longer under the weight of sin because we've been set free. So when the Bible talks about kind of Satan being the god of this world, it's not saying he has ultimate authority. It's conveying that the idea that he has specific areas that he has certain influence over. And so for us, as believers in this world, when we pray, when we invite that heavenly supernatural power into our world, the enemy sees that as an aggressive act of war. So we need to be aware that when we start to pray, and if we choose to start to pray this year, that there's consequences to that. That if you want to be left alone by the enemy, then just don't pray. It's pretty simple. But that's not to say that we should be scared of the devil, because we shouldn't be. In fact, he should be scared of me. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead is right here. That same power that took someone who was dead and brought them completely back to life resides right in me and right in you. So as much as the devil might try and bluff and scare and try and cheat you, he's actually afraid of you. He's afraid that if you realize the authority that you have in him, he's powerless in your world. Romans 8:11 says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us who believe. Mark 16 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick and they will get well. We're certainly not going down the road of one of those crazy snake handling churches, but the principle in that scripture is that the power that is in us through what God has done in our life, that power of God that resides in us, is all powerful. It is all conquering. That there is not another force at work that is more powerful than the power that lives in the hearts of those who believe in God. James 2:19 talks about how demons shudder under the name of God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is the one who is in me than the one who is in the world. So that's what I really believe. So you don't need to be afraid of the devil, but be aware of them. Be aware of him. Be aware of the fact that he is at work. If he can intimidate, if he can try and trick you, if he can try and bluff you, if he can whatever, he will try and do it. So we need to be aware that he's at work, but also very, very aware of the fact that the God who lives in you is much more powerful. So if you want a comfortable life with no spiritual opposition, then don't pray. I'm a firm believer in the fact that the devil is really not worried about apathetic Christians, that he will just leave you alone. If you just want to live a really comfortable, unchallenged life, then don't do anything. Just sit. I don't even think that God's particularly perturbed about Christians that show up to church. Because just showing up to church doesn't do anything. But if you show up to church and you worship and you show up to church and you pray and you listen to the word and you allow God to speak to you and create change in your heart and your mind and your soul, then that's going to get attention. And that terrifies the devil. The fact that you might actually begin to realize the power that is within you because of what Christ has done in you. Because the devil gave it his best shot. The whole crucifixion thing, the devil thought he had won. He was celebrating. And then suddenly, no more celebration because Jesus comes back from the dead. It's like in Rocky 2 when Apollo Creed thought that he had Rocky down and out. And he starts to just celebrate a little bit, and then Rocky gets back up and just knocks the bejeebus out of Apollo Creed, and Apollo Creed is down and Rocky becomes the champ. It's kind of like that, but not. In my mind, that's actually how it happened. In my mind, the devil's celebrating and he's having a party and they're having celebration parties. And then there's like just a little tap on the devil's shoulder and he turns around. Jesus just goes, "Pacha!" and knocks him out. I don't know how it happens in your mind, but in my mind, that's how it happens. So remember that Jesus kicked the devil's butt. And that devil butt kicking power lives in you. It's like a new superhero, isn't it? So he's well aware that when we accept Christ, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have God's power residing within us. And he can't achieve victory against us unless we let him. His best bet is to lie, to steal, to cheat, to scare, to tempt, to hurt, to make us so focused on other stuff that we forget about the fact that the power of Christ lives within us. John 10:10 says, like I said before, the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy, but God has come to bring life and life to the full. The devil's a giant bluffer. He'll try and overwhelm you. He'll try and make it feel so big and so overwhelming that you forget about the fact that the one that created the universe is right there beside you. 1 Peter 5:6 to 9 says, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert, be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith. Genesis 4:6-7 said, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, then sin will be crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.'" So sin's crouching at my door because it can't come in unless I let it. Sin's not that powerful. The devil's not that powerful. He can't force his way upon you or into your life. You have to let him. So if you choose to stand firm in your faith and you choose to stand firm in the authority that you have in God because of what Jesus did on the cross, then you can overcome. So we need to remember that if we're going to pray, we're going to face opposition. But when we face opposition, it's okay because God's right there with us. The power that we have in Christ, the authority that we have in Christ, the power that is in the name of Jesus is more powerful than anything else. It is the most powerful thing. The disciples talked about the fact that they could cast out demons using Jesus' name. It wasn't because they themselves could do it. It was because they were operating under the authority that Jesus had. And it's the same for us, that we operate in that God authority. That same power that when God just spoke and the world was created, that's within us. And we don't even realize it most of the time. We get so focused on the stuff that is happening that is negative. We get so focused on the things that are stressing us out. We get so focused on the things that aren't going right and get this victim mentality that we forget that this incredible power is right there beside us. And that's not to say at all times when you pray, God will just make it better. But God will make a way. He will give you strength. He will give you wisdom. He will give you peace if you stop focusing on the negative stuff and start focusing on him. Phil preaches this great message that some of you might have heard called "The Devil's a Murderer and I'm a Target." And kind of the idea is that whenever we step out and we do something that extends the kingdom of God, whenever we step out in obedience to God, it gets the devil's attention and he wants to try and distract us from what God's called us to do. So this year, if you want to be left alone by the devil, then don't pray. Don't share your faith. Don't tithe. Don't meet together and discuss spiritual matters and encourage each other. Just don't. That's your out. If you want a quiet, easy, spiritually trouble-free year, then that's what you've got to do. I don't suggest you do it. I'm just saying. But if you want God to impact your world, if you want to have an impact, if you want to encounter God, if you want to experience what it's like when the God of heaven uses you to do something for him, then pray. If you want to see stuff happen that physically can't happen, then pray, because you will get God's attention. You can't have the benefits of prayer without the opposition that comes with praying. So the fine print is that if you pray this year as a church, if we pray collectively this year, a few things will happen. God will move. You will receive spiritual opposition. The more that you pray, the more you'll stand out to God and the enemy. John Bunyan said, "Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan." Oswald Chambers said, "Prayer is an effort of will. It is a decision that we make." Martin Luther said, "The fewer the words, the better the prayer." I'm rolling with that this year. So where to from here? We're going to provide you guys with opportunities, with education, with motivation, with all that kind of stuff to pray. We have weekly prayer meetings at the church office on a Friday that are open to everyone. We have pre-service prayer every week. And the idea of that pre-service prayer isn't so we can just pray for the next 90 minutes, but it's so we can collectively pray. And we're going to make more of a focus this year on providing this space before the service to pray. And that's open to everyone. It's not just for the people who are involved in the service. So I'd encourage you, if you are serious about praying this year, and I completely understand the logistics of getting to church with a family, and sometimes it's not always easy and whatever, I get that. But if you're serious about prayer and you can't make a prayer meeting at 9:30 on a Friday morning, then get here at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. Get here 15 minutes earlier and pray together with us. Because I guarantee the more people that pray, the more stuff's going to happen. Every revival is started with prayer, with fervent, passionate prayer by just a few, and then it grows. We're going to have times of prayer in our life group. There is going to be numerous opportunities for you guys to pray and pray more. So if you choose not to pray this year, it's not through a lack of opportunity. It's because you choose not to. One day we'll be held to account for what we did with our life. I believe I'll be held to account for the time that I was given on this earth and what I did with it. I'll be held to account for what I did to try and bring those around me to Christ. Remembering it's not me that saves people. It's just me that provides opportunity for God to do stuff. I just present the message and God does the rest. Charles Spurgeon said, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for." So I realize this is all a bit heavy and serious, but it is heavy and serious. We're talking about people's eternal destiny. We're talking about the fact that we can actually influence the stuff that happens because of the power that lives within us. If we choose to pray, and we choose to pray collectively and as individual, stuff will happen. I can't tell you what will happen. I don't know. I'm not God. All I know is that stuff will change. You will change. We will change. This community will begin to change. Not because of our power, because of God's power. So I've got a few practical things for us. I've got 6 good tips when it comes to developing your prayer life. What? Okay. I'm not used to you encouraging me. I'm used to you having a go at me. I thought you were having a go at me. All right. So 6 good habits we could develop this year when it comes to our prayer life. Easy, simple, practical things that if we leave this place and we go, you know what, I'm going to choose to pray more this year, here's 6 things that we can apply really easily. First one is learn to acknowledge God immediately upon rising. Develop a habit of thinking about God as soon as you wake up. Psalm 17:15 says, "As for me, because I am innocent, I will see your face. When I awake, you will reveal yourself to me." It's a great habit that as soon as you wake up, you train yourself that your first conscious thoughts are not about the things that you need to do, but about the one you want to do them with. The second thing is make a specific time for daily prayer. S.D. Gordon says, "We need to find time to pray, unhurried time, daily time, time enough to forget how much time it is." Find a time free of distraction when you can actually focus on God. I don't know when that is for you. Only you do. So for me, that's really, really early in the morning or really, really late at night. And that's when I pray. I don't expect anyone else to get up and pray with me or stay up and pray with me. That's for me. That's just when it works for my life. I've tried to pray in the middle of the day if I've got a couple of hours free-ish in the middle of the day and shut my office door, but it doesn't work because there's too many other things in my head going on. And I realize that the irony of the fact that in my office I could sit and meet with the creator of the universe, but in my head it's more interested in what's happening out there and are the boys kicking the footy in the gym and or there's any good conversations going on. So for me, praying in the middle of the day just doesn't work. So find time where you can pray. There's 96 15-minute blocks in every day. Find one of those for God. Number 3, create a spirit of constant prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 17 talks about praying without ceasing. So that doesn't mean like praying like that. Like it means having an attitude of prayer. I mean, being constantly aware of the fact that God is with us at all times, that he has a desire to just have 30-second conversations with you. He has a desire just for you to be aware of the fact that he might actually have a whole bunch of stuff to say to you if you just had an ear to listen throughout your daily life. And not necessarily life-changing stuff. Not everything is of massive significance. Sometimes he might just want to give you a little encouragement or give you a thought to share somewhere with someone. I don't know. I just know that God has a desire for constant communication with us, but we just don't seem to have a desire to listen. So it's about just constantly chatting with God. And you will be astounded that if half a dozen times throughout your day you stopped and for 1 minute you said, God, is there anything you want to say to me right now? You would be amazed how often he has something to say. Spend enough time praying to really meet God. A lot of the time we expect to know God intimately without ever really spending quality time with him. Like any relationship, it just takes time to develop, to learn what God's voice sounds like, to recognize his voice. The more time you spend, the more intimate with God you get. If you want to hear God's voice more this year, spend more time sitting and listening. Number five, pray using scripture. There's great authority and power in the written word. Pray scriptures. Pray them over your life. If you need encouragement, find scriptures about encouragement and pray those scriptures. If you're facing a challenge, the answers are in here and we can pray them out. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active." So in your times of prayer, pray scriptures. If you don't know what to pray, Google it. Seriously, if you're feeling about bit down and out, just type in scripture for encouragement and it, like 400 of them come up. It's not complicated. That's how I write these messages. Message about prayer. Never choose the first couple because in case you guys have a look, you'll find it. My last tip. My last tip, number six, is pray out loud. Now, I know this isn't comfortable for everyone, but too bad. Praying out loud helps remind us that Christ is actually a real person who is in this room with us. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. So it encourages us and it also builds up the faith of those around us. You know, come to the prayer meetings, like I said before the service, and actually pray. If you don't like it, just don't worry about it. Get over it. Stop worrying so much about what man might think or say and worry about what God might say and think. And I know for some people, the thought of praying out loud is terrifying. Too bad. Within reason, too bad. You've just got to start somewhere. Just come and join in our priest. That's the pre-service prayer meeting is the safest place in the world to start your praying out loud journey. If you have some kind of a phobia about praying out loud, then I would challenge you this year to change that. I would challenge you to come to the pre-service prayer meeting. And maybe your prayer will be that long. That's fine. Maybe to you it will sound awkward. To God it will sound awesome. Okay, three habits to avoid when it comes to your prayer life. We're almost at the end, team. The first bad habit to avoid is to allow feelings to dictate our prayers. Donald Demaray says, feeling is not the guide to the practice of prayer. So don't allow whether you feel like praying to dictate whether you pray. It's not about being motivated to pray, it's about being committed to pray. Because one day you'll feel exceptionally motivated and then halfway through that prayer you won't be very motivated anymore. If we allow our life, this is just a good life lesson, don't allow your life to be dictated by feelings Allow it to be dictated by committed decisions that you make that will produce good outcomes. Don't substitute prayer for activity. We see in the story of Mary and Martha that one of them is just so busy doing stuff for God, she forgets the fact that part of what we're called to do is just sit with God. Sorry, with Jesus. Just called to sit with God. Now, I'm all about being the Martha. I'm about doing. So my perspective on this whole story is she gets a bad rap, because if she hadn't gone out and got the food together and invited Jesus to come, then Mary couldn't have sat at Jesus' feet. So there's a place for both. We need people on the setup team. So I'm not saying it's not good to serve God with passion and with diligence, but it's not a substitute for prayer. It's not a substitute for hanging out with God. We shouldn't be too busy doing stuff for our King that we don't actually talk to the King. The third thing that we want to avoid when it comes to our prayer is to be bound by legalism, because prayer is not a one-size-fits-all model. How I pray, my prayer, we're going to talk about more this year, the idea of a prayer rhythm. How I pray is going to be different to you guys. Some people have, and I think it's a gift, the ability to pray for hours on end. Some of us have the ability to pray really short, decisive prayers quite quickly. And some of us are somewhere in between. Some of us like to pray walking around. Some of us like to pray with music. Some of us, it's different. Everybody is different. It's not a one-size-fits-all model. So just because the person next to you prays a certain way doesn't mean that's how you have to pray. There's a great story of an Indian guru who had mice running around distracting him when he was trying to meditate. And he's trying to get in his zone, and the mice are everywhere. So he goes out and he buys a cat and he ties it to a pole, and the cat scares away the mice. And he forgot to tell his followers why he actually got the cat and attached it to a pole. And he was later astonished to observe that all his disciples, when they wanted to pray, would get a cat and attach it to a pole. And they just assumed that the cat and the pole was necessary for prayer. So just because someone else is doing something doesn't mean we need to. It's a YouTube video. No, it's not really. C. Morgan states, "The matter of supreme importance is that we discover the method of prayer which brings us most actually to realize the very presence of God and hold communion with Him." So, if you're going to pray, if you're going to take up the challenge this year to pray more individually, collectively, more as a church, then we will see significant things happen. We will come against significant opposition. We will face challenges. I guarantee if you walk out of this place and you go, you know what, I'm going to pray more this year, and you make a determined decision that you are going to pray more, then there will be some spiritual opposition within the next 24 to 48 hours. I guarantee it. The moment I started writing this message at 7 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. Monday morning, all hell broke loose at our house for the next 48 hours. Like, unusual, strange occurrences within the life of my children. And I'm not super spiritualizing, like, this isn't another Buffalo Bill story for those of you who were here. I'm not super spiritualizing this. I'm actually telling you that I know that when you move forward in God, there will be opposition. That's okay, because the one who lives in us is far greater. We just need to be aware. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be worried. We just need to be aware. And we need to be aware also of the fact of the authority that we have in Christ. The authority that He has given us. The power that's contained in the Scriptures and in His name. So when we pray, it's going to get attention. God will move. Things will happen. So for us, we need to make a collective, determined decision that this year we are going to pray. So I might just invite the worship team to come back. And we're just going to provide some space for God to speak to us and provide some space where we can maybe just communicate with Him. We would love to pray for your goals. So if you weren't here last week or you didn't get your goals for the year prayed for, then as a church we would love to pray with you for those. So if there's anything else that you would like prayer for, if there's something going on in your life that you would like us to stand together with you and pray for, then we would love to do that with you this morning. So just as the worship team are just going to lead us, we're going to close the service officially. If you need to go, you can go. There's Slurpees and there's coffee and stuff out there, and we'd love for you to hang out. Don't forget the welcome lunch is on, 12:30 at the church office. 370 Centre Road, Bentley. So we would love for you to come and join us. There's no church next week, but we would love to pray with you this morning. We would love to stand with you and believe for a great year with you. If you're facing a challenge, we'd love to pray with you. So if you would like prayer for anything, if you'd like us to come and pray for your goals, then we're just going to be down the front waiting. Otherwise, have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a fortnight.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.